here in the 06010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It's Tuesday, December 8th, the final day of Week 13 in the 2020 NFL regular season. Field Yates and Stefania Bell, plus Daniel Dopp, he who microwaves fish, is with us here today. I have an altered perception of Daniel as of about 15 seconds.
I know. I thought everyone knew. That was a big work no-no.
There are very few rules in life. You always start Patrick Mahomes, don't eat cheese before noon, and you never microwave fish.
What? The cheese thing too? I'm doing two of the three things wrong in life, Field. I got to be honest.
What movie is that from? Don't eat cheese before noon.
I have like no idea.
Crashers? I don't know, but I feel like Robert Flores would have something to say about that.
Oh, he probably would. He probably would. All right, we got a big show today, and just a reminder, Tuesday, our next show is Thursday, so we're down to our three-day-a-week schedule, so we have a show today. We'll recap, of course, two games from Monday night, talk about waivers, and another reminder, waivers run not tonight, but tomorrow night, because we still have a game to be played tonight between the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys. We have some injury updates and the like, but let's get to the upset of the 2020 NFL regular season. That's right, the Washington football team, the previously counted out Washington football team, led by Alex Smith and Ron Rivera, orchestrates a huge upset of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get to the fantasy fall for a second, Stefania, but I know how proud you were to watch that game last night.
So proud. It's funny. I exchanged texts with Alex's wife, as we often do, because let's face it, she went through as much as he did, and maybe more vividly even than he did. But those were the words. She's so proud. And you know, he has said, I think he said he's living each moment like it's his last as far as football right now. And how can you blame him? A guy who most people thought would not make it back to the football field, even some, I'm sure, in Washington. And yet here he is and engineering a comeback against an undefeated Steelers team. It was really just a great moment for him and for the team. And he praises the young talent. And I think that's where someone like Alex and his leadership comes in, is it's like he's elevating the young talent.
He is certainly a leader in every sense of the word. And by the way, I was thinking about this last night. No, I think this is the best story, is Alex Smith and his comeback from 17 surgeries and nearly having his life and leg lost. There are a lot of great stories in the NFL this year. The Washington football team in general is one. A quarterback who we saw in the second game last night, Josh Allen, and his team is one. Heck, the Steelers going 11-0 was one of the great stories in the NFL.
Ben Roethlisberger comes back from his elbow reconstruction.
Been a lot of feel-good stories for the Washington football team. Part of their success this year has been because of the strong running of Antonio Gibson, and they won this game without him for basically the entirety of it, Stefania, as he left very early on in the contest.
You know what? My fantasy playoff hopes in about three leagues went out the window when Antonio Gibson left the field, unfortunately. And if you watch the play, you saw his toe, he was falling forward. His toe seemed to stick in the turf, ended up with a toe injury. You know, turf toe is a hyperextension, the big toe. It looked very much like that was the mechanism of the injury. They showed him on the sideline getting that big toe taped up, but they listed him as doubtful, which tells you right off the bat that they knew. Right away that he was likely not to return and ultimately got ruled out. And look, if it's that much of a big deal, there's the potential for him to miss beyond this week.
And after he left, well, basically the entire game, right?
Right. So most
of it. So we can sort of look at the full game stats and sort of use those as a good proxy of what it's going to look like, or what it did look like, minus Antonio Gibson. Peyton Barber did rush for a touchdown last night. And I read the waiver column here. You guys all know that here on ESPN. And I thought about, do I add Peyton Barber? No. Like, Peyton Barber has had a lot of solid days in his career. He's had some good moments for a guy that's overcome a ton in his life. But can't get that excited about him as a fantasy asset right now. There's just not a lot of explosive plays for him in that running game. It's all about J.D. McKissic now. And we've known J.D. McKissic throughout the season. He had a great stretch in the middle of it. He had 10 catches last night.
Was that his highest number on the year?
Could be.
I think it may have been.
I know that he is second in the NFL amongst running backs in terms of catches this year. And Kevin Burkhardt and Daryl Moose Johnson did a nice job on the call, as always, last night. And Moose was saying, like, it's the same play they were running to Antonio Gibson. It looked like sort of just an option right out of the backfield to the right sideline. He just kept crushing whoever was covering him. He has obviously a lot of value if Antonio Gibson misses this upcoming game against San Francisco and perhaps more. They've got Seattle, Carolina, and Philly left on their schedule. The reality is that this Washington game was not won because of their offense. It was won because of their defense. Terry McLaurin kept in check. 2 catches for 14 yards. It's Terry McLaurin. Better days are ahead. You're allowed an outlier game every once in a while. But there is a story that, again, amongst a theme of great stories this year, Logan Thomas is a top 10 tight end. Think about Logan Thomas. Think about any top 10 tight end. There is a top 10 tight end that is just sitting there available in 75% of leagues. 75% of leagues, Logan Thomas, who had 9 catches, 98 yards, and a touchdown last night. He almost had another touchdown. He has been a great story of development for the Washington football team.
Yeah, in a clearly a relationship with Alex Smith. And you mentioned it, Field. I mean, props to you. You said, go pick him up if you need to replace Mark Andrews. I mean, Jordan Reed, even, we'll get to that game. But there were a couple of tight ends there who were decent pickups and probably will be involved in game plans going forward. Not probably for Logan Thomas. Clearly he is.
Yeah, they are getting some contributions from the Sims amongst their young wide receivers. But it's Terry McLaurin, it's Logan Thomas, and it's J.D. McKissic until further notice. Now, they have very little vertical passing game right now. Offensive line is a little bit shakier. They've been okay.
Yeah, their defense. Moments. Their defense is helping them out quite a bit. And that defensive front is so good.
Yep.
They clearly kept them in that game until they could put some offense together.
So do yourself a favor if you have a need at tight end, which you might. Again, I was looking through it, and I'm like, how many tight ends do I definitely take over Logan Thomas? And it's like 6. And everybody else is a conversation. I mean, I understand if you have a Mike Gesicki. Like, I'm not saying, hey, you got to go drop Mike Gesicki to add Logan Thomas. But, like, if you're sitting there without one of those top 6 or 7 guys, like, it's at least a conversation to have. The Steelers are so confusing to me. And I don't mean that. That's a little bit of an overstatement. Okay. The Steelers are outstanding. They're 11-1. You don't go 11-1 in the NFL if you're not really, really, really good. There's a little bit of injury attrition on the defense side of the ball. No Devin Bush. No Bud Dupree. But one of the narratives coming into this game was like, oh, yeah, the Steelers, like, they don't strike you as a team that coming into last night had a chance at 16-0, right? And part of the reason is that, like, we only have one analog for a 16-0 team. It's the Patriots and 2007. And let me just remind people.
Except for Matthew. Matthew's got, like, 3 like undefeated seasons that he's been a part of.
How many points per game do you think the Patriots won by on average in 2007?
This feels like a Kyle Soppy question, so I'm going to guess low. 4.5 points per game.
Okay, Stefania?
I'm going to say it was higher. I'm going to say it was over a touchdown.
Okay. How about 20?
Yeah.
What? 20.2 points per game.
Because he's making the point that they were dominant.
It was either one
Steelers
or the other. Okay.
Been,
right? All right. So you're smarter than
going.
I am. Whatever,
no,
Stefania.
I didn't
Nobody
know it
cares.
Was 20 something. I mean,
20 points per game. So that's the reason why. I think that I was thinking about this because it was like, why are people having such a hard time accepting the Steelers' record? Because if they're going to go 16-0, and the comparison, again, we have one comparison. It's the Patriots bludgeoned opponents in 2000. I was in college. I went to college here in Connecticut, of course. Every Patriots game is on. I remember watching these games. That's right. Shout out Wesleyan. And it was like these weren't even contests, you know? So
the Steelers have had a couple. They've gotten away with a couple. I mean, clearly they've gotten away with a couple of games. It's not the same team.
This is a roundabout way of saying that, like, they're really, really, really good. But it doesn't mean that watching them is always easy, right? So Ben Roethlisberger finds 305 passing yards last night. And it should have been a whole lot more.
I was going to say.
How many drops? At one point, and I need to read the tweet at some point. I know Brooke Pryor had mentioned that it was there. She covers the Steelers for us here at ESPN and noted from ESPN Stats and Info, they had more drops in the game tonight than they had, I believe, in a long time. That was, of course, last night. Deontay Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Amongst others.
And another one who is on many of my fantasy playoff rosters. Yeah.
And it's like he got 21.1 fantasy points, and it feels like it should have been 31.1 fantasy points. So
Juju had a few drops as well.
He did. And Chase Claypool didn't play a ton.
Not much.
So let's get to the takeaways here. First of all, Benny Snell. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people. If you trotted up Benny Snell last night, like we thought.
Call him
Benny Snell.
You did.
Wow.
Field.
That's straight out of the.
You really dropped the ball on that one, Field.
That was straight out of the fantasy show script right there. Benny Snell. Oh, boy. He had 8 carries last night. That was not so smelly, right? 8 carries in 3 games. His last 3 games, he's got 31 carries for 80 yards.
Yikes.
Remember at the beginning of the year when James Conner got banged up early and Benny Snell ran great? I think he had 101 yards against the Giants. That feels like a long time ago.
Looked like a thing.
It's Whether, not a thing. Not a thing. So we think that James Conner has a chance to return on Sunday night against the Bills. Think that. Based off of other players that have been on the COVID-19 list and their return to action, we think. So it may be that Benny Snell's role is moot going forward, but if James Conner is not available, it's hard for me to envision having Benny Snell inside my top 20, even in a matchup that I think is better against Buffalo, if not than it was last night against the Washington football team. And just to close the circle here, Kyle Soppe does have the drop stat from last night. What was it, Kyle?
It's the most by 7 drops last night by the Steelers. It's the most in our database for the Steelers. It's the most by any team since the Raiders in October of 2017.
Wow. 7 drops last night, most by any team in over 3 years.
I think it really, to me, there was something philosophical that was going on last night. And I think Mike Tomlin captured it. I think they will play really well this coming week. Mike Tomlin seemed to almost appreciate that they lost. And it's weird to say, I'm sure. I mean, obviously, they go out with the intention of winning. However, his reaction was, can't wait to see, you know, how we get through. I mean, he was smiling. Ben Roethlisberger was smiling. There was something they knew they played badly. It was kind of like, okay, we got that out of our system. We got to move on. It's a bit of a wake-up call. But I felt like that game was in them. Even last week, they didn't look great. This was in them. It's happened. I think they get better. I don't think you see a game like this going forward.
And by the way, the pressure's off them now, right?
Yeah,
Like you don't have the weight of 16-0 is weight you want to carry. No one's talking about it anymore. And they still are number one in the AFC playoff standings because they have an out-of-conference loss as opposed to the Chiefs in-division loss against the Raiders. So, other takeaway. Chase Claypool, his fantasy production has declined in each of the past 3 games. He had 4 targets. Now, the good news is that it would seem that was an outlier because he had 5 straight games with 8-plus targets. The only thing that I'm keeping an eye on, only thing, is that Ben Roethlisberger is a known advocate for James Washington. Mm. James Washington did have a big touchdown last night. And like this has been discussed publicly. Like it's all over. It's not like this is like me having some like, you know, inside info here that he likes James Washington. I don't know that it's a James Washington snaps have to come at the cost of Chase Claypool snaps, but at least last night there was more James Washington than Chase Claypool. I'll still rank Chase Claypool as a top 30 to 35-ish option for this upcoming week because of the touchdown upside, but it's worth monitoring to see if that stays consistent over the next couple of weeks. So that would have legitimate playoff bearing for a lot of people that have been relying on Chase Claypool. We're going to talk about the Bills and the 49ers games. Stefan, you might set that segment out in just a minute. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy, Daniel? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Do you ever feel like you're always on?
Always.
These days, everything is go, go, go. I mean, it's nothing but nonstop hustling all the time. And all of us know nothing good comes from hustling. I mean, you got work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and the expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. It's a good time to reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill, and literally the only beer that's made to chill. It's Coors Light. Watching football is therapeutic to fans. It's that uninterrupted me time, an excuse to chill and drink beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team just to drink beer. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for the cold trifecta. It's literally made to chill and celebrate with responsibly. As crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the beer to choose when you need to unwind. So when you want to hit the reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And please, don't forget to celebrate responsibly.
Generation Rising is brought to you by EA Sports, NFL, Madden 21, and Josh Allen, my man. You played your way right back into the edges of the NFL MVP conversation. How about his night last night? 375 yards, 4 touchdowns, only 11 rushing yards, but it didn't matter. 30.1 fantasy points. He is now tied with Patrick Mahomes for the most such games of 30 or more fantasy points amongst quarterbacks this year. He is just absurd. So he's a lock-in fantasy starter, Stefania. Yeah. That part's easy, right?
You look good.
But let's think about this again, because I was mentioning earlier about all the good stories that we have in the NFL. And I was having this conversation with someone inside the NFL yesterday, and it was centered around Carson Wentz a little bit, and without getting too much into the nitty-gritty. But right now, the takeaway in Philadelphia is like, cut Carson Wentz, you know, recycle him, let him, you know, let him walk, trade him for, you know, a 20th round pick, right? And it's like, realize how hard it is to do that. First of all, like, it's not practical from a cap standpoint, et cetera, et cetera. Like, second of all, obviously no one's going to give you something of value right now for Carson Wentz because he's been bad. But third of all, like, you got to work your tail off every single day to get better. Like, we make it so simple. We commoditize these players way too frequently. And I understand that it's fantasy football and we talk about players individually, not as a team. But think about what the Bills have done with Josh Allen. Josh Allen came into the NFL with a lot of skepticism. A lot of people pointed to the inaccuracy in college and the rawness of Josh Allen. Played at Wyoming. Guy was a zero-star recruit, right? Entered the NFL in the first year. You know what happened? A lot of those accuracy issues continued.
Yeah.
A lot of the mistakes from Josh Allen continued. And the Bills, they said, we're going to keep working with him. They never, ever, ever at any time flinched in their confidence for Josh Allen. And this is why I give so much credit to GM Brandon Bean, so much credit to Sean McDermott, their head coach, Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator, and of course Josh himself. What a great story this is of a player who has come from whatever he was at when he was, you know, being basically raked over the coals after his rookie season. Oh, this guy's a bust. What a terrible pick. Bills could have had Patrick Mahomes, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I get it. Everybody would still rather have Patrick Mahomes. But, like, to end up with Josh Allen and Tre'Davious White the year before and that pick that they traded with the Chiefs for, like, they've got something good going here in Buffalo.
Also went out and got Stephon Diggs for him. I mean, they did things to shore up around him.
Yeah.
And if you look at Philly, there are some
good
missing
reminder.
Parts. You
not
know?
Just
so
what
it's
you have,
not,
it's what you
it's
do
not just
them.
The quarterback, but they certainly help build his confidence by sticking with him and support, giving him a stronger supporting cast.
It's just a great story. It's just a great football story that I think deserves, like, too often what we do is we glance past these things. And I don't think the Bills deserve an immense amount of credit for all they've done with Josh Allen. And he's done so without much of a running game, Stefania. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss last night limited to a total of 70 rushing yards, both a little bit banged up, I believe, as well. A little bit.
I mean, so Devin Singletary looked like something happened to him that was going to keep him out of the game, and then he was back in. And for at least for me personally, what I do when I see these things, if there's not much reported on the broadcast or the guy comes back, you're looking in the comments, the post-game pressers. You're looking for remarks about what was going on with that injury. And when nothing comes, as was the case with Devin Singletary, we got nothing on that. You look later in the week. I'm going to keep an eye on these two running backs because Devin Singletary definitely looked like he was going to potentially be out. And then he comes back in. He ends up carrying the load because Zach Moss, who also got banged up early, ends up fumbling an exchange with Josh Allen and then was not heard from again. I think he had one touch for minus 1 yard. That comes from Thirsty Kyle in the final three quarters. So that fumble exchange, he was out, but he also looked to get a little bit banged up.
Yeah, it seemed like this was one of those, and coaches do this. This is one thing I will take coaches to task on, is that, like, a guy fumbles and you send him to the doghouse for the rest of the game, but then he's all good to play the following game. Like, I don't know that 7 days of thinking about it, like, automatically makes that player less likely to fumble, but it happens frequently, so.
But I also wonder if there's something going on. I would just say watch the injury reports on these two because I didn't feel great about either one, but there was nothing in the post game to give us any details.
Okay, good note there. And the Bills might not just have one fantasy wide receiver. They got two
Beasley.
Stars. So I was thinking about this too. Maybe I'm just trying to, like, will our way into good things in 2020. When, another trivia question for you guys. I came with several of them today. Kyle, you're on the hot seat. Daniel, I'll start with you.
Okay.
When did Cole Beasley enter the NFL?
Well, he entered my heart earlier this season, but he entered the NFL 7 seasons ago. He's been in the NFL for 7 seasons.
So that would be 2013, your guess?
2013 is my guess.
Okay, Stefania?
I'm
way off.
2012.
Yeah.
2012. He's 31. You don't reach the best point of your career at 31. Like,
hey,
that doesn't happen.
Come on now. Jeez. Not all of us were child prodigies field, all right?
At your football career. My bad. I mean to be clear there. Your football career, it doesn't happen. Like, what an awesome story. When the Bills gave him, I believe it was a 4-year, $26 million contract, people are like, to Cole Beasley?
Good for him, man.
Like the fourth wide receiver on the Cowboys? Again, Brandon Bean, like the dude is just like, he's pocket aces right now. He has been really, really solid. Cole Beasley had 9 catches, 130 yards and a touchdown last night. And I want to give a shout out here to Mike Clay, who on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday had just typical Mike Clay, like 30 great calls.
Yeah,
one of which was, hey, wide receiver cornerback matchup to watch. Cole Beasley specifically against a vulnerable 49ers nickel position because of all their injuries in the secondary.
Told you that.
So Stefania and Mike had this lined up.
28
fantasy points for Cole Beasley. Yeah, so a great story. And oh, by the way.
And John Brown's on IR. So, you know, they're minus one target there. But Cole Beasley certainly stepped up to the role.
And he is a little bit Jekyll and Hyde. He's got 4 games of over 100 yards this season. But if you look at his target count over the past 6 games, 12, 2, 3, 13, 4, 11. So a little bit up and down. I think just maybe a good story. And again, a guy that like, I think in the past, you would have said to yourself, if you're going to play Cole Beasley, you're aiming for the floor, right? You're like, hey, I can get probably 5 catches for 49 yards and nearly 10 fantasy points. That's fine. As it turns out for the Bills, what you're getting with Cole Beasley is the chance for some serious upside as he has over 22 fantasy points in 3 straight road games. And he has 11 or more fantasy points in every road game this season. So maybe that is the key. The Bills are on the road. You can play Cole Beasley.
His fourth 100-yard game in the season. It surprises me to read that because, again, he doesn't jump off the page as like, oh, hey, sexy wide receiver that you want in your lineup.
31 years old, getting the job done for the Buffalo Bills, who are now 9-3. The 49ers, tough day at the office here, Stefania. The game could have obviously flipped. They had a fourth down opportunity twice, fourth and goal, and they came up short. They came up short in the opening drive, and then they eventually, I believe, were they had a play at the end of the game, not end of the game, but the fourth quarter where they come up just a little bit short, Kendrick Bourne, and then turnovers eventually ensue. But the point is, not a great offensive night from the running game at all, as they finished with a combined 89 rushing yards from Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. But the problem is that what we've learned with this backfield, Stefania, is probably that like it's got to be one or the other, or one of whoever, however many running backs there are, for it to be a worthwhile start. And it seems like maybe the team is being smart here with Raheem Mostert, and that like for a guy who's been banged up on a couple of different occasions, maybe we don't need to run him into the ground 25 times in a game.
Yeah, it's really hard. This was a hard game plan for me to follow. I think, you know, Kyle Shanahan, of course, making no excuses, but consider the fact that they did move to Arizona in the middle of the week. And that is their home stadium now. So everything, and I was thinking about this, and I don't know how many people saw the broadcast, but Lisa Salters did a piece where she was showing like what their setup is. I mean, it's not just players and coaches going down there. You're moving the entire weight room. Has to move into another facility. You have to bring the whole training room and their equipment with you, essentially. So you're talking about moving your entire home base. You can't tell me that that doesn't have an impact, sort of setting up what the game plan would be. So I thought there was a little bit of confusion at times in terms of what they were deciding to do. Even their defense said that it was a tough night for them in terms of Buffalo just being really good at executing. So, like you said, tough day at the office, and they're not 100% anyway. You know, Nick Mullins is doing okay filling in for Garoppolo, but they haven't been consistent at quarterback with the 2 injuries. George Kittle's not out there. You know, they had a couple really strong moments, and you saw the flashes of what Mostert and Samuel can do, but not consistently.
So you mentioned this yesterday in the podcast that, like, someone asked you about whether, I think it was Daniel asked you whether George Kittle would be available potentially, right? You could use his spot on your roster to drop him. This is just an instinct here. Last night, they fall to 5-7. Probably puts a nail in the coffin for their their playoff chances?
You know, it's funny because...
Maybe not, I guess.
It's interesting because Garoppolo and Kittle went to Arizona with them. So, you know, that's all part of it. It's like they're going to do the rehab there. And if you're George Kittle, you're pushing to come back no matter what. I think that the 49ers won't say anything to that effect yet, but last night was a big... It closed the door.
If it's week 16 and they're out of the playoff mix, why bring back, you know, your best offensive player? Although you have a couple other good ones. Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel. Is Debo okay? Debo Samuel, all good?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's one that I think they were definitely watching the load with as well.
Yep. Oh, he ended up with 6 catches on 9 targets for 73 yards. And Brandon Ayuk, what a keeper he is. 5 catches, 95 yards, and a touchdown for him. Just looks the part, that much is for sure. Let's get to some news, and we begin with tonight. And Stefania, you mentioned this yesterday on the show, and it's now even further official. Lamar Jackson was activated off the reserve COVID-19 list. You know, you don't activate the guy and then not play him tonight.
The report is that he is expected to play. This is what we were waiting to see. We talked about him having an extra couple of days from when he would be eligible to be activated. And the main thing is you want to make sure that the player's conditioning, that there's no lingering effects that they can get through. It's not like Lamar Jackson can take a bunch of snaps off. You know, you're not bringing him in for a partial workload. So they have to be comfortable that he can get through an entire game. Trace McSorley, the only other quarterback on their active roster, currently RG3 on injured reserve with a hamstring injury
for RG3. So Lamar will be back to playing tonight, and what a huge moment this is for Lamar Jackson. They got to win this game, obviously, to stay in the playoff mix. And Lamar, you got to prove to everybody that last year was not an aberration. I mean, I'm not expecting you to go unanimous MVP every year, but 36 passing touchdowns last year. Like, let's see some of that magic tonight.
I don't know that we can expect it tonight. I mean, this guy has been out after testing positive for COVID-19. It's not like he's been practicing. Yeah. Everything's been discombobulated with the Ravens. So I don't know really what to expect from Lamar Jackson. We talked about this yesterday, that some of the guys who have come back from that have later said that they are still not feeling 100%, even though they're basically symptom-free. There's something that they're just off. So I'm hopeful for Lamar Jackson, but I'm not necessarily 100% confident. Just a couple other Ravens notes. Mark Andrews and Willie Snead are expected to be activated later this week, and that would mean they could be available for Monday night, the next time the Ravens play in Cleveland.
That's right. I forgot they have. But that was a previously scheduled Monday night game. This was not a Ravens thing that got moved around a couple of different times. So we've got some good and then some not as good news on the Carolina Panthers front here, Stefania. Let's go with good, though, first. Christian McCaffrey, we heard from Matt Rhule yesterday on his availability for Sunday.
Right, and we've been projecting this for a while now, but it's nice to finally get the confirmation that Christian McCaffrey is expected to return from that AC joint sprain that has kept him out. We thought that they would keep him out through their Week 13 bye. They did, and now McCaffrey is set to come back. Even in Week 12, we got a tease that he might play, you know, and then he ended up not traveling with the team and not going, which made a lot of sense. So hopefully this will be the last injury for Christian McCaffrey this season. He's missed a lot of time. First time in his career that he's had to miss time due to injury. But he's had enough now for a couple of years. So let's hope that he stays healthy through the end of 2020.
And as we know, when he has played this year, he has been Christian McCaffrey. But the Panthers are dealing with some COVID issues now, Stefania. 8 players placed on the list yesterday. Adam Schefter reported Sunday that they had 2 players test positive. The most prominent note here, and Schefter did not put a name to it, but there's been subsequent reporting that DJ Moore sounds like the player that tested positive, or one of the
DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. So 2 wide receivers who could be on your fantasy roster who are on this reserve COVID-19 list. Now, again, what we don't have detail on is who are the high-risk close contacts. Again, with 8 players, we don't know who all tested positive, who are the high-risk close contacts. With the Panthers being on a bye, there's also less information about where exactly this happened. They had closed the facility while everything was being investigated. As we know, the contact tracing begins right away. And we should expect another update today. We'll hear from the Panthers.
Yeah, reportedly no new positives today, so they're expected to be back on the field practicing Wednesday in Carolina. Obviously, they're coming off of their bye, but it sounds like they'll be able to practice on Wednesday. To your point, we just got to figure out, so if someone like Curtis Samuel was a high-risk close contact, he would hypothetically be eligible to play on Sunday. This Correct. Is the same.
That's why it matters.
With Ben Roethlisberger and Matthew Stafford and others who have been placed on this list. So Chris Carson's a really interesting case here, Stefania, as he obviously returned to action two games ago. And I remember the Friday before Chris Carson's return, him still being on the injury report, but then having no game status, right? So, like, he's going to play. We knew that much. But I should have known then that, like, his return to action did not correlate with him being 100%. Like, he's well enough to play, but not 100%.
And he looks great. I think it was really interesting how Pete Carroll has described this situation, where he acknowledges that Chris Carson looks so good that he looks like he's a guy who's 100%, but that he's still dealing with some soreness after running. And so they want to be mindful that they don't overload him and then create a setback. You know, we talk about when guys come back to play, and one of the questions that I get asked all the time is, yeah, but is he fully healthy? And there's sort of a two-part answer to that. One is, it's football, and nobody after about week two is fully healthy for the rest of the season. And the other part is that when guys can be healthy enough to return to action, it doesn't necessarily mean that the healing has completed. Now, some things will take till the end of the year to get 100%, and some things can actually continue to get better as they go. And I think in the case of Chris Carson, you're introducing workload. That's really the final stage of the rehab process. So as good as he looks, as strong as he's running, the fact that he has some soreness, they have to respond to that by limiting the touches he has, and then they move forward accordingly. Problem for us playing fantasy is that we never know what that volume is going to be, and I don't know that they have it predetermined. They're just sort of watching him during the game. Here's what Pete Carroll said. He said he was limited in his first two games back because he wasn't 100%. He did say Monday that he was not only feeling better, but he came out of this last game better, and they hope to have him full speed, full load this week. So that's great news for fantasy managers.
Okay, and of course, they have a huge, huge game now against the Washington football team on Sunday. Is that right? That's correct, right?
I believe that's correct.
Pretty sure they're playing Washington on Sunday. Yeah, sorry. I said it with such confidence that it should be right.
49ers.
No, Washington play. 49ers. I was going to say, wait.
My bad. My
the Washington
bad.
49ers. Yeah. Yes.
Seattle plays somebody
home
else.
Field of Arizona.
I'm not sure who Seattle plays on Sunday, but it's a huge game because they just lost this past week.
Seattle's got the Jets, 13.5-point favorite.
Huge game.
Oh, giant.
Yike.
Notable to some. Stefania, one more injury is this Josh Jacobs thing. Like, remember reporting right after it happened was like, oh yeah, he's good. Yeah, it's a little ankle sprain. Like, might be able to play this week.
Yeah. Well, at first it was, it didn't look good. And then it was, oh yeah, they felt more optimistic. And this is all coming through Gruden. Gruden basically was talking about a handful of players, Josh Jacobs being one of them. Jonathan Abram, I think, was one of the other players he was talking about. But he said the way those guys looked, and Josh Jacobs was one of them, he didn't think any of them would be back for the next week, meaning this week. That's concerning. He then followed it up by saying, you know, get back to me on Wednesday. So it sounded like maybe as the week goes on, there'll be more conversation. The door's open. I don't want to take this and suggest he was ruling them out, but he certainly was pessimistic on their status.
More Devontae Booker. And I know you're disappointed by how he played this past week. Just telling you that, like, it's not like somebody else got a bunch more work in that Raiders backfield. So if you are going to play a Raiders back, if Josh Jacobs sits, it's going to once again be Devontae Booker. We're going to talk Dumpsville in a moment. But first, if you're missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with ballpark buns and rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball and summer. They're an American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. Guess what? Ballpark buns and rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of the year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you grocery shop. Alrighty, time now to grab the touchscreen here. We're going to play a little game of Welcome to Dumpsville. You don't want EMPS. What you do want, though, is a touchscreen here as we...
As Matthew Barry would say, welcome to Dumpsville, population U.
That is correct. And as always, we'd like to start with the quarterbacks here. Stefania, Carson Wentz is our first option. You keeping him on the board or you throwing Carson Wentz to Dumpsville?
Dumpsville.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, goodbye. Here's the deal. We don't even know if Carson Wentz is going to start next week for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then on top of that, if he does start, how much will he play? As I'm having trouble configuring my... This is always good when you... Test it early and it works, and then it doesn't work when you try it the second time around. We're going to keep working on this, but Carson Wentz, his completion percentage has dropped from 69.6 to 63.9 this season, or last season, to 57.4 this year.
He had 79 yards.
79.
That's not good. You know, hashtag analysis. Again, as our friend Matthew would say, Jalen Hurts, 109 yards on 12 passes. Carson Wentz, 79 on 15. You can tell whose stats are better from that one little comparison chart there. But honestly, we've talked about this ad nauseum, so I don't think it needs to be belabored. But there's obviously something not right with Carson that I don't think a week of time is going to fix. They've had these weeks. It really feels like there needs to be a break that's longer than a few days.
And the pressure is going to continue to heat up on Philadelphia as if it isn't already scorching hot. And there's going to be a call to action for Jalen Hurts. And I think that what we're dealing with right now is a player, you mentioned it, Stephon. There's something going on. He's got broken confidence right now. Obviously, we know that when Carson Wentz is at his best, he's been a really, really good player in this league. He was at one point the front runner for the MVP back in 2017 until he tore his ACL. Since then, he's been a dramatically different player. He can be sent to Dumpsville. Now, remember back, I was going to make a call. I was going to do a little pat myself on the back. But we had suggested collectively that if you had the opportunity to grab Derek Carr before week 13, this past week, it will be smart because you'd be beating others in the race to replace Tom Brady for a week. Brady obviously had a bye week this past week. If you did, it paid off. Number one quarterback on the week so far with a couple of games left to be played, obviously. One game left to be played, obviously, I should say. But Derek Carr, you can set up a dumpster. Because a reminder.
Look at what's coming.
Yeah.
I think that tells you all you need.
Yeah, you play the Colts this upcoming week. You play the Chargers the following week. You're fine with that. And then Miami. But this just comes down to this reality. We have no more bye weeks.
Right.
We are done with bye weeks. Scheduled bye weeks, I should be very clear. Scheduled bye weeks are no longer for the rest of the NFL regular season. So
there will be better options available.
There'll be better options available. And I get it. Because we've been having this conversation philosophically about whether you should continue to roster two quarterbacks the rest of the way or not. I think this might be one where you can kind of follow the tenor of your league a little bit. If everybody is keeping two quarterbacks on their roster and you feel like it's important to keep a second quarterback on your roster as a result of that, that's fine. Because as we know, like, you know, you did not have, we did not have Lamar Jackson last week, right? You can have a Lockett-in starter and then all of a sudden not have a Lockett-in starter. But if you look around your league and you go to the waiver wire and there's still four, five, six good examples available, then like you can just continue to follow that lead and probably make your second quarterback expendable. Let's talk about some running backs, whether they could be sent to Dumpsville. Here's Stefania. I think we're kind of answering our own question. But Devin Singletary for the Bills, who, as we talked about on the show, ran okay last night. But
yeah, but they also had Zach Moss out of the picture for three of the four quarters. Yeah. And I what would the stats have been if Zach Moss is in there? I don't love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can keep him only because of injuries and other, you know, just it's running backs. You can probably continue to roster a guy who seems like a good bet to lead his team and carry us the rest of the way. But
now you're going to face the angry Pittsburgh Steelers next.
Yeah, and then the Broncos and then New England and Miami. So sort of a difficult four-game stretch down the stretch here for the Buffalo Bills. I'm a hold, but I understand if you need the roster spot. Duke Johnson, he's available in 42% of leagues. He can be available in much more than 42% of leagues. He had 32 yards in David Johnson's Week 13 return. He's got 3 yards per carry, just 2 touchdowns and 95 touches this season. Duke Johnson can be dropped. It's insurance only.
Just going to say, insurance only.
But it's not a great insurance policy, right? James but White. Still
there's
roster.
Not a ton of running backs available either, you know, in terms of insurance. So.
James White can be dropped as well. James White doesn't drop passes, but you can drop James White. 57% rostered. He's only got one game with more than 15 fantasy points this season. Under 7 fantasy points in 5 of his past 7 games. And Damian Harris.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the emergence of Damian Harris really over the last few weeks has made it so that James White has, his role has definitely gone down. Under seven fantasy points in 5 of his last 7 games.
As you take a look at our big board here of players that have been sent to Dumpsville already, we have a couple more for you. Let's talk about some wide receivers here, and let's begin with Mike Williams, Stefania. What an interesting, sort of perplexing player Mike Williams is.
Yeah.
He has not scored a touchdown in 8 of 11 games this season, but when he scores, he goes big. You dumping him or are you keeping him around?
I'm probably dumping him. I think there are better options available for you, especially in these playoff weeks. And here's the thing. I think we have this conversation sometimes. Is Mike Williams a better fantasy player? I mean, a better football player than he is a fantasy player.
Yeah, I do wonder that myself sometimes. He's just inconsistent, right? And I'll hold only to make this argument, and I don't feel strongly about this. But you get into the playoffs, you limp in, you don't really deserve to be there. You got lucky all year, puck luck worked in your favor, and you're playing somebody in the first round that's really good, second round that's really good, and you're like, the only way that I win is if I set what would be almost like the equivalent of a tournament-winning lineup in daily fantasy.
Right.
That's what Mike Williams
Swing is. Swing for the fences lineup.
Swing for the fences.
They are playing Atlanta this first
yeah.
week.
Yeah, so and the Raiders the week
a,
after.
Have
that
shot.
Helps. How about Christian Kirk? Stefania, any need to keep him around?
Mm.
4 straight games under 10 fantasy points. That offense looks very flummoxed right now.
Yeah.
Everything about them is a little bit confusing
it's a little
at the
off.
Moment. Yeah, a little off. Graham Barfield, who does a great job covering fantasy and all things football, posted a graphic yesterday on Twitter of DeAndre Hopkins' route tree. Like the past 3 weeks, like it's basically just like run 10 yards or less to the left side of the formation mm-hmm. and expect the ball to get there. There's some curious things taking place right now in that Cardinals offense. So Christian Kirk, you go to Dumpsville as well. And then final one.
Oh, haven't we? I feel like this is an every week candidate.
It is an every week candidate, but I want to. Travis Fulgham. I'm sending you to Dumpsville, but I want you to know it's not personal. I want to thank you for giving us one of the best runs of the season from a waiver wire edition. You were incredible. Your story is one that is not fully written. You got a place in this league. I hope you have a long, successful career. I don't know why the production has petered out the way that it has. But I won't forget weeks 3 to 7 or whatever the specific window was, which you were one of the best players in fantasy football. We thank you, Travis Fulgham. Consider this. This is like we're giving your wings. Now go fly away. Go go become a better player somehow, some way. And it might not be your fault. It might be just that the offense you're in right now is not designed to have anybody be super successful at the moment.
All I hear is Natasha Bedingfield in that statement. You know the
like
unwritten song?
Yeah.
No, that is no. that is not, no. That was Nelly Furtado.
Yeah.
The rest is unwritten.
The rest is still unwritten. That's Natasha
that's
Bedingfield.
Good, I know that song. I know that song.
It's a good one.
Staring at the blank.
Way, yeah, I love the way Daniel just closes his eyes and shakes his head like, no.
No.
Music.
Let me handle
it. Daniel Lanefield.
Daniel Lanefield.
So from Dumpsville, we are going to, of course, bring back.
You've got to talk about who you're going to add. If you're getting rid of people on your roster field, you got to find a way to be able to replace them on your roster.
So, do you want me to rank them right now? Or do you want me to just go through them and then rank them?
Let's go through them and then we'll rank them. Let's get everyone, all the names out there.
Here we go. Let's start at running backs. And Ty Johnson, good story here. We talked about him yesterday, a player that would seemingly be in line for more work for the New York Jets to find. We haven't gotten any indications. I mean, yesterday there was a lot of other things happening in New York, but no update on Frank Gore, of course, yesterday, right?
No, no. And probably too soon. We probably won't hear anything on Frank Gore's status till Wednesday.
Okay, that's good to know. So Frank Gore still uncertain for Sunday, but no definitive word one way or the other. But Lemons into Lemonade is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, and we talked about this Rams backfield and how all of a sudden Cam Akers is looking like a thing. Now, 21 carries this past week. Stefania, I would be remiss not to mention that on the Rams' projected injury report on Monday, he is now dealing with a shoulder issue. Do we have any context at all on that?
We do not yet, other than just the fact that he played 52 snaps. He was very involved in the game, running back's most vulnerable position. They're going to get beat up. Sometimes a do not practice early in the week is as simple as we want to protect you so you're available for the following week. So we won't panic yet.
Okay, so that no panic yet. The game is Thursday night. Obviously, if he doesn't play, then, you know, back to Darrell Henderson. But Cam Akers looked the part. 94 total yards, 16.4 fantasy points. Didn't rush the ball on a per-carry basis super efficiently. But still, this is a guy that they drafted in the second round and said, we want him to be our workhorse at some point. Yes, Daniel.
If you were taking these guys for this week, it kind of feels like Ty Johnson is maybe is more of what you're thinking over Cam Akers, and Cam Akers is maybe a better long-term option. Is that kind of the...
Completely agree.
Okay.
100%. Yeah, because, you know, the Jets, there's only 4 weeks left, so I guess anything is possible. But if Frank Gore misses a game, just one in total, like, it's Frank Gore. They're going to get him back in the mix if he plays in week 15. There's too much loyalty there.
Ideally,
could be his last year.
Ideally, you don't have a fantasy championship matchup where you're having to start a New York Jet.
True. You know? I would agree on that. I would agree.
And Cam Akers in 2 weeks plays against the New York.
I mean.
So, you know, you could go, if you're lucky enough to get them both, Ty Johnson this week, Cam Akers next week.
How about that?
I like that.
What's same. Old is new again at the wide receiver spot as T.Y. Hilton has back-to-back games of looking really good, over 18 fantasy points for him in back-to-back contests. And the Colts offense is finding some life. Happy birthday to the mic'd up king, Philip Rivers. 39 years old today is Philip Rivers, and he's found a connection with T.Y. Hilton over the past couple of games.
I wonder why it took so long. I mean, maybe T.Y. was a little banged up when the season started. Who knows? T.Y. wasn't quite himself. You saw him drop a couple balls. He just didn't look like himself, but he looked great. Like, I watched him. He got up in the air to catch passes. He looked like a younger version of T.Y. Hilton.
Kiki QT for the Houston Texans looked like a younger version of himself, I suppose. He had a great game on Sunday. 8 catches on 9 targets for 141 yards, 22.1 fantasy points. He ran a route on 77.1% of Deshaun Watson's dropbacks this season. Houston has thrown the football on a percentage basis more than anybody else in the NFL. So I think that as we sort of continue to admire and be in awe of Deshaun Watson's greatness, that you're playing with him, you've got a chance. Chad Hansen did have a big game for the Texans on Sunday, but feels like QT, who's actually on the active roster, has a better chance, incrementally better chance, to sustain this production a little bit. I'm not saying 8 catches for 141 yards every week going forward, but Kiki QT makes the waiver wire column this week. We said this yesterday. Although Brandon Cooks was clear to return from a concussion on Sunday, let's just monitor his status. Let's see if there are any, you know, potentially lingering symptoms. And if he is unable to play on Sunday for some reason, obviously that would mean that Kiki QT would have to stay busy. Good story out of Denver. Really good story. Tim Patrick, 4 catches, 44 yards, 2 touchdowns this past week. If you throw out that game in which Kendall Hinton had to start for the Broncos, right? That one game where it was, I mean, obviously it was unprecedented measures, basically. Tim Patrick has 7 of 8 games with at least 10 fantasy points. The Broncos have made a ton of investments in skilled players. But if you just bear this out, blind resume, who are you starting? Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. I mean, I don't know if you want to throw Noah Fant in there or not. He's a tight end, obviously. But he leads the Broncos in receiving yards. He's averaging over 15 yards per catch. He's good down the field. He's good in the red zone. He's a good player. Really interesting restricted free agent this upcoming offseason is Tim Patrick.
He's a good player, but I don't think he gets a ton of attention. You know, he doesn't. Because Jerry Jeudy is the big name, the big upside, but they wanted to bring him along gradually, being a rookie. Fant was the connection with Drew Lock. I also think some of the things are really hard to interpret because Drew Lock injured, and you know there was. I don't think offensively the way they wanted to in the middle of their season, and I think we'll start to see it at the end here. And what we saw from Tim Patrick this past week, I would bet that you could expect something like that over the course of the next few weeks.
Daniel?
Also, not necessarily this conversation, but don't forget that team has Cortland Sutton. Like, I think we forget that, like, he's a really good wide receiver that is out for the rest of this year. They've got a lot of really good young skill position players there. Tim Patrick absolutely, he feels kind of like Corey Davis Light, not, you know, with the idea that, like, people just aren't taking him seriously enough.
Well, that's why I think he's going to be an interesting player this offseason, is that if Denver feels really good about Cortland Sutton's recovery, which we would think they would, and KJ Hamler, a second-round pick this past year, and Jerry Jeudy. I mean, can you afford to pay big money to retain a guy who on paper might be your fourth wide receiver in Tim Patrick. So if somebody out there this offseason is looking for wide receivers, Tim Patrick and Corey Davis might be the options to consider for you. Tight ends, as always, a little bit barren. We talked about Logan Thomas at the beginning of this of the show. Obviously, Logan Thomas would be the ad if you had the opportunity to grab him. Available in 75% of leagues, and he's tight end 3 on the week so far. But Anthony Firkser, sort of interesting, only because Jonnu Smith missed last week with a knee injury. Did we get any sense going into the game last Sunday if that was a multi-week thing or if that was just a...
No, it was sort of quiet and under the radar, but that he has been bothered by that.
Okay. So if he misses this upcoming week, Anthony Firkser, who junk-timed his way to 10.1 fantasy points this past Sunday, on the radar. It's hard to find tight ends. So let's rank these players 5-1, not just the ones that we mentioned, but the entirety of players that are considered on the waiver wire column this week. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start number 5, Adrian Peterson, who over back-to-back games has 4 touchdowns. I think it's exactly 17 rushes in each of those last 2 games.
The ageless wonder.
The ageless wonder. DeAndre Swift, as we know, has been unable to play. He was unable to play last week. It's a head/illness. A little bit of vagueness there, but understandably so. Sensitive issue for DeAndre Swift. We'll see whether he is able to play. Of course, it was Peterson himself who said that ever since that injury popped up, that sort of DeAndre Swift had not been himself, really. So Peterson has stepped up, and you know, Peterson's skill set's pretty limited. But what he does, he still does really well. It's been to the benefit of Daniel's Lions, and hopefully they can keep up their winning ways after a huge come-from-behind victory this past Sunday against the Bears. Number 4 for me on this list would be our friend Tim Patrick. You know what? I'm thinking twice about this.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Mid-show adjustment.
On the fly.
Okie doke, baby. Let's go. I just had a counting issue there for a second. My bad. T.Y. Hilton, back-to-back good games. And as I said on the show yesterday, like the regression from T.Y. Hilton didn't make a lot of sense this beginning of the season. Like, yes, age catches up to players in unique ways, and we've seen it with other guys this year. But T.Y. Hilton's still a really productive player, a guy that is, by the way, going to be a free agent this offseason. T.Y. Hilton, I think, has a chance to sort of be a thing. I think he's worth adding to the bench right now. And if he gets another good game or two, could be in championship lineups come week 16 and 17. Kiki QT, number 3 on our list. The Texans wide receiver who volume should be in his favor. Quarterback play is certainly in his favor. The offense he plays in is certainly in his favor. A good player. This is a guy who at Texas Tech was a good prospect. There were some who believed he could be like a legit slot receiver in the NFL and do so pretty early. He had one great game during his rookie season, had a couple of flash moments, basically fell out of favor last year. The Texans are obviously, were at one point very crowded in the wide receiver room with Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks and also Kenny Stills. And then things got real thin in a hurry, and all of a sudden Kiki QT is an important part of their offense. Ty Johnson, number 2 for this week, and maybe there's a case for him to have the most value this week specifically, if Frank Gore does not play. That being said, Frank Gore could still play. It's the Jets' offense. It's hard to trust them implicitly week to week. The Seahawks' gut check game coming up on Sunday. I know the Seahawks play only weird games, but Ty Johnson would have an opportunity, it would at least seem, to have, let's say, 15 to 20 total touches and good in the passing game. Which brings us to number 1, and that's Cam Akers. Not quite ready to say that he has totally taken this backfield in Los Angeles unto himself. We mentioned the shoulder injury, which is 100% worth keeping a close eye on for Thursday night against the Patriots, who have been a little better defensively of late. But Cam Akers, I just think there's a chance. There's a chance that if he once again dominates touches in week 14, that like by 15, 16, and 17, you could be looking at him as the clear-cut Rams running back that you want to play in your playoff matchups, and a guy that's got a lot of ability. There's a reason why he was such a good player at Florida State, even with bad circumstances around him, with just a mess of a program, and why he went in the second round this year for the Los Angeles Rams. Cam Akers, my number 1 waiver wire ad for week 14. There you have it, Daniel.
There you have it.
Yeah.
And don't forget to check out the, you write the column, obviously, every week.
Yep.
Fields waiver wire column.
ESPN Plus, for those that are interested in checking it out. A couple of their names on there that were not mentioned as much during our conversation. So,
ready for some social questions?
Ready for some social questions. Yep.
Let's do it.
All right. Time for social.
This first question comes from AJ Atkinson, wants to know, is Ryan Tannehill trending up and Justin Herbert trending down enough for me to consider starting Ryan Tannehill over Herbert?
I'm one game away from this being a real conversation. And I need to look at the, I believe the Chargers play the Falcons this week. God, I am just terrible with my week 14.
The schedule is everywhere, like with moving games all over the place.
I think part of it is we don't even know what days football is played on.
I've got the schedule pulled up now. Here we go. All right, so we have the Titans play the Jaguars. Ooh, okay, wow, this is fun. Okay, so yes, yeah, you can't have this conversation. Chargers play the Falcons, Titans play the Jaguars. I'll have Herbert ranked higher, but I have no issue playing Ryan Tannehill this week. And I know that people are saying, like, well, then why wouldn't you rank Ryan Tannehill higher than...
Here's a question. Herbert?
Okay,
you worried that it ends up being a Derrick Henry game? And
it
that drops Tannehill's value because, you know, they get some points.
But so the only reason why I'm not as worried is that we just saw Dalvin Cook have 37 total touches. I think it was 37 touches on Sunday against the Jaguars. Had a huge game. And Kirk Cousins still got you 21-plus fantasy points. So
I just meant versus Herbert. If that's your choice, maybe that maybe
my
that
gut, AJ, my gut is I'd roll the dice with Tannehill. Tannehill.
Wow.
Right, Tannehill.
Any of this hinge on the fact, obviously we saw A.J. Brown kind of rolled his ankle a little bit, came back in the game, but you know, if you find out that A.J. Brown doesn't play, does that change the way that you look at things? Maybe not even doesn't play.
Maybe. I think he's going to play, though.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play.
All right. Hey, I'm just...
No, it's a good question.
You're a man of the people. You are asking the people's questions.
All right, Tibbs...
He's the people's producer.
Tibbs 2012, whose name is Ben, wants to know, is it safe to assume that DeAndre Swift is going to be the lead back in Detroit when he returns?
I would say no.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, well, a couple of things is like, first of all, like, when's he going to return, right?
Well, it's all predicated on when he returns.
Right.
But I felt like they finally started to see what they had in DeAndre Swift and started to roll him out that way. So I guess my question is, if he were healthy, presuming full health, why would you deviate from that?
Can I ask a question with that?
Yeah, you
question
go. Please
with
do.
A question.
Yeah, please.
Do you mind? Yeah, because I wonder when you get a coaching change like this that happens, how things shift within an organization, because I could understand wanting to sort of just have a youth movement a little bit to see what you have, but also, you know, the consideration of maybe Daryl Bevel is somebody that wants to, if they can keep winning and get on a roll, you know, I don't think they would want to shake that up. So
here's
without knowing, like, does a coaching change that in your opinion?
Well, I think clearly now, like, there's no, like, the pressure to win was immense with Matt Patricia still as the coach. Right now, I'm not saying that the pressure is not immense, but, like, I don't think that Daryl Bevel's going to get this job full time. I mean, if they go 5-0, then I think he'll be considered.
Right.
But I don't think that's going to be the case.
They already know one person they're interested in.
Yes. At least one. And you got to beat teams like the Bears a little more handily than what you saw on Sunday if you're going to.
Does Adrian Peterson have any records that he can, or like any like ranks he can climb up over the next?
Seems like a Kyle question.
Yeah, I know. I feel like Kyle's like at the computer.
He's just like, crunching.
Look
right
at that cat meme.
Yeah, the cat. Yeah. Yes. The cat. Right. You're like,
Kyle knows what a meme is. I'm so proud
I
of you,
got
buddy.
You. Even but pronounced it correctly.
The reason why I ask is like, what if Adrian Peterson, I'm just making this up, needs like 262 yards to go to like second all time in rushing, then I could see the Lions being like, he's Adrian Peterson.
Unless that passed Barry Sanders, in which case you better sit Adrian Peterson or DeAndre Swift for the rest of the season.
Go. Right.
I just feel like they saw that they finally were like going with DeAndre Swift. Like clearly he got the job. And even Adrian Peterson said he wondered why it took so long for that to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, the health is a real thing. So we're kind of in no man's land until we know how healthy he is. But if he were healthy, I would think you're trying to fire up the team. He's electric. I don't see why you wouldn't be, but.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'd say that I think the reality is like,
we don't know.
The answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully we do know the answer to trivia so we can get a trivia. Kyle, what do you got for us here today? Please stump us.
I got you. Who's the one quarterback in the NFL that has at least four deep touchdown passes without throwing a deep interception?
I'm going Josh Allen.
I was
going
to say if you asked a red zone no interception. I would have said Josh Allen.
Well, they showed that graphic last night. Right. I'm not going to
I know,
do
but
that.
I knew it before the graphic, Kyle.
I believe
but
you.
But still, I knew you wouldn't ask it because it was last night.
Yeah.
Now you want to go deep. You're so, oh.
I'm going Josh Allen.
A deep pass, at least 15 yards in the air.
Phillip Rivers.
Oh, gosh, you're killing me, Kyle.
Sorry, you're the one that kills me. You've been dominating trivia.
No,
I got to stump you
anymore.
Once in a while.
Philip, did you say Phillip Rivers?
Yes, because you want to know why? Because Phillip Rivers is one of the only quarterbacks I could see not having deep pass interceptions because he just doesn't throw deep enough. So if he just hit on the four right passes without throwing deep enough, like, yeah, come on, Phil.
Yeah. Well, Roethlisberger?
Kyle?
0-3. Daniel, I tried to throw you a bone here. Matthew Stafford.
I was going to say that. Come on.
That's an obvious answer. We should have known that, actually. Oh, by the way, who's been playing like a beast with a thumb injury. So good. The props to Matthew Stafford.
He has been remarkable. That's all we have for today. We're back on Thursday with a preview show. I will not be here. I'm letting you guys know that if this is something we've had in the works for a long time. So I'll be back on Monday. I look forward to seeing you all there. And as we say goodbye, we're not quite done. For those of you watching on the live stream, enjoy a little clip from the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, which was masterfully performed by a certain bearded fellow that you guys all know and love.
Running back waivers start with Cam Akers, who is exactly the kind of upside back that can make a huge difference down the stretch run. Akers has set new season highs in fantasy points in each of the last 3 weeks, and this week also set a season high in touches with 22. You know, last year, Sean McVay made Tyler Higbee a thing down the stretch. This year, maybe he does that with Cam Akers. Akers is definitely worth an add if you have the roster spot, as is J.K. Dobbins, who is still available in over 30% of ESPN leagues. Remember this. Before Dobbins went on the COVID list, he had emerged as the top back in that Baltimore offense with double-digit carries in three of his last four games and a season high in fantasy points in the last game that he played. With Baltimore needing wins to make the playoffs, they should lean even more heavily on their most talented running back. That's J.K. Dobbins. So Akers and Dobbins are backs who have clear and growing roles already. But now I want to shift and talk injuries. And to do that, let's welcome in our very own Dr. Fantasy. Hey, Dr. Fantasy, tell us about the likelihood of running back injuries.
Well, hi there, Matthew. I must say, your hair transplant really took this time. Perhaps too much. I don't know who told you a man bun is still a thing. Anyway, as for running back injuries, I don't have much for you. What I can say is that the human body is very frail. Watch this.
Oh, no, Dr. Fantasy.
Yeah, exactly, right? That didn't hurt me at all. You know why? I have no nerve endings. But that would have been very painful to a human being.
That's a really good point, Dr. Fantasy.
Or how about this? My puppeteer down there, you know this guy? Yeah, he often uses me as an oven mitt. Last night, he stuck me in an oven and he used my mouth to pull out a casserole. I didn't feel a thing. But you, it would have burned your hair-covered face right off. Same goes for human running backs.
So if injuries happen, especially at the running back position, it's smart for fantasy managers to roster backup running backs who could become clear RB1s if an injury occurred. Right, Dr. Fantasy?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And by the way, did you know that when I'm not being used on this show, I'm hung on a hook in a closet for days? Imagine if you were hung on a hook by your largest orifice for days, you'd rip right in half.
I'd actually rather not think about that, Dr. Fantasy. So let's talk about the backup running backs who could become RB1s and are still available in at least 35% of leagues. Le'Veon Bell saw 65% of the backfield touches with CEH not in the lineup on Sunday. He needs to be more rostered given the offense he's playing in. And we've obviously already seen Latavius Murray and Jamal Williams have huge games on numerous occasions when either Alvin Kamara or Aaron Jones have been out. And while we haven't had to do quite as often yet, both Alexander Mattison and Tony Pollard are also belonging in that group. All right, and here's a pro tip, right? Don't just get the backup for your number one running back. Take a look at the roster of a team you might face in the finals or semifinals and see if their best running back's backup is available. Of course, here at the Fantasy Show, we don't want any of these guys to get injured, but as the puppeteer who sticks his hand up Dr. Fantasy's backside always says, always be prepared. And also, please don't microwave fish in the break room, Daniel. I mean, honestly, it was one time, all right?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.